I'd like to invite you over to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, verse 33. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, verse 33. Matthew, chapter 14, verse 33 reads this way. It says, "Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this morning, thanking you once again for the privilege of gathering together as your church, Lord, and then being reminded that where two or three are gathered together, there are you in the midst. Lord, may we never forget about your presence and, Lord, the leadership of your Holy Spirit that guides us to understand more about you and all the truths that you've given to us and all the promises. Bless your word this morning. Bless your people. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is simply, "Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him." Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him. Or simply put another way, worship brought on by the power of God. Worship brought on by the power of God. Listen, God wants to be involved in our lives. Amen. And he wants to reveal himself, not just a little bit, but mightily in every life of every believer for his honor and glory, and also to be a witness to the world, but also to be a blessing in the light and the peace that he has promised to be to the life of every believer. Now, there are two things that are involved that God needs to deal with concerning his will in our life, and that is our will and his will have to be in unison. And if you're not familiar with this, the Bible teaches us that our thoughts are not God's thoughts. And sometimes we can think, oh, we're so right, but we are so wrong. Remember, again, I remind you, I make reference to Peter, but there's been many other instances where the disciples thought that they were right. And by the way, I think the disciples had a teacher that would be even better than all the angels. How about you, when it was the Lord Jesus Christ? And yet they still got it wrong. They still messed up and ran out in front of the Lord, even on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter said, oh Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let's make a tabernacle. He was running the show, wasn't he? He said, this is what we're going to do. And the Lord God called out from heaven and said, no. He said, this is my son. Hear him. Follow him. Listen to what he's saying. Don't come up with your own ideas, because God doesn't need our help. Amen. We need his help. And so God wants us to make sure that we understand how he wants to work in each and every one of our lives. And so this morning, we want to look at number one, the work of God. Number two, the will of God. Number three, the walk of God. And then the last thought will be the worship of God. This is all God's work if we are willing to submit and seek him for his direction, understanding, and wisdom to do these things. Otherwise, we will truly miss out on what God's best is for us. So let's consider this. Back up with me, if you would, to verse 22. And we'll take a look at the work of God, or the Lord directing his disciples for his purpose. And so look what the Lord is doing here in verse 22. He says, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Now, this was just after the feeding of the 5,000. And if you look back to verse 15, you'll see that it was evening. And we'll look at the evenings. They're broken up into four parts. There's the first watch, the second watch, the third watch. And then lastly, there's the fourth watch. And they're all done in 3-hour increments. So the first part of the evening is from 6 o'clock at night till 9 o'clock. Then from 9 to midnight. And then from midnight to 3. And then from 3 to 6 a.m. And so the Bible tells us here that Jesus constrained his disciples. Well, what does that mean? Well, the word constrain in the Greek, which is anakazo, has the idea to compel, to drive, and even to force. They were not quickly listening to the Lord's commandment. Now, it may be because they wanted to be in the very presence of the Lord, and that's a good thing, except for when God is commanding us to do something different. Amen? And so here's the Lord constraining his disciples that they might follow him and get into the ship. And the Lord knows what he's about, does he not? He knows everything that he's doing. And by the way, he knows what we need, this might surprise us, better than what we do. Amen? The Lord knows really what we need, but we might think we know what we need. Oh, this is what I need. And God says, oh no, Peter could have told the Lord what he needed. Amen? Lord, here's what I need to do. Lord, I need to forgive my fellow believer 7 times, right, Lord? Did he get it right? No. How about this, Lord? You should not go to the cross. That should not happen to you. You shouldn't suffer one bit. What, did he get it right? Do you know, when you read the book of 1 Peter and 2 Peter, do you know that God has given him the grace to explain to us the blessing of suffering and allowing God to work in our lives? God will not infiltrate. We must allow him to work in our lives, and that requires our faith or our trust in what he's doing, especially when we don't understand, and also when we might disagree. Do you think Peter ever disagreed with the Lord? How about the disciples when they began to talk about who's going to be number one? Do you think they got it wrong? Absolutely. And so we might have this idea, and God tells us, you know, everything we need to know, guess where you're going to find it? In the Bible, in the Word of God. It's not going to be something that somebody came up with. It's going to be in the Bible. Do you know what it is that we need to know? Do you know where it might be found concerning the Lord and his local New Testament church? Do you know where you'll find that? In the Bible. Do you know where we'll learn about the promises of God, the blessings of God, and all the things that God wants to do? Where are you going to find that? In the Bible, in the Word of God. Be careful. Listen. Because there are things taking place in our day and age that are not in the Bible. All right? Ready? You may have heard this. Jesus gets us. You ever heard that? Oh, it's a big movement. Oh, thousands and thousands of people are jumping on board. Jesus gets us. You know what the problem with that is? They don't talk about us getting Jesus. That's the big problem. You can say Jesus gets us all day long, and you can be a lost soul. Hey, listen, last week, can you believe this? 12,000, I didn't say 1,200, 12,000 people went to a beach down south of L.A. from all over this country. It was on Fox News. 12,000 people went and got baptized. Woo! Let's get excited about that. And then I listened to the lady that was moving that movement, and she said this. She said, the announcer was saying, isn't it so good? All the negativity that you hear in this day and age, that was such a blessing to hear. 12,000 baptized. I wonder what churches they were added to. But wait a minute. Here's what the lady, the announcer was saying. This is so good to hear. Tell us about that. So the lady began to say this. Ready? It is so good to see all these people come, and we make no differences if you believe in Buddha. Oh, that was so wonderful, wasn't it? You know what was the problem with it? It's not in the book. It's not in the book. And we need to be careful to hear the word of God that comes from God. And that, listen, the only way we'll receive it is the same way you got saved. How is that? By the work of the Holy Spirit. If we're not careful, we'll buy into anything that sounds like it's Christian. When people tell you they're saved, don't be so quick to say, we're Christians. Find out what that means to them. What does that mean to you? You say you're saved. What does that mean to you? Tell me what salvation means to you. You'll be surprised at what you hear. I had a warm, fuzzy feeling. Or I got baptized. And I'm saved. And they'll not talk about the blood. They'll not talk about the sacrifice of Christ. They'll not talk about repentance and turning to Christ for forgiveness. They'll talk about all these other things. And they'll talk about all these feelings. And there'll be no Jesus, no blood, no repentance, and no salvation. Be careful. Listen, I want you to understand what's taking place. There is a religious movement taking place, but it's not of God. Do you know what the devil's getting ready to do? He's getting ready to create a one world religious organization. But it's not going to be of God. Be careful about that. And we need to listen to the Lord if we're going to follow him. So let's take a look here at the will of God. So here's the Lord working in the life of the disciples. And he constrains them to get into the ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And verse 23 says this, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Well, wait a minute. Verse 15 says that the evening was already come. And then the disciples said, hey, you better send them away to go get food. Now, I'm just going to give you some. There was a time frame. I don't know how long it takes 12 fellas to hand out food to 5,000 people. But I dare say it took a little while. Amen. Maybe it went on till midnight. Maybe it went past midnight. I don't know. But there were some times that went by. And the Lord is working with the disciples here. And he's also working with the multitudes. But now he sends the multitude away. He takes time to pray. And you know, the Lord didn't just give a 10-minute prayer. Do you think that? You know, the Holy Spirit will develop in us a love to talk to the Lord and to get into the Word of God. It's important more today than ever before to get involved and allow God to get involved with us by seeking him through his word and through prayer. Brother John mentioned this morning in Sunday school class about having a prayer journal. I believe that's a good thing to do. Now, you don't have to do it. It's not wrong if you don't do it. But I think you ought to have some kind of a prayer life. Amen. I believe it ought to be more than Lord bless my food. Amen. I think it ought to be something about the Lord. Lord, show me your will for my life. Show me how to walk in your ways. You be my example. And Lord, let me honor you. Because I promise you, listen, if we want to hear, and that's my heart's desire for everybody in here, that you hear from your Savior, from his lips, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That was three of us. I hope you hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. From the Lord. But there's only one way that's going to happen. And I'll give you a little clue. It's not our way. It's whose way? It's God's way. We better make sure when we approach doing things for God that you find it right here in the Word of God, or it's not from Him. And a lot of people may have some misgivings and look, you don't understand what I did. It's of no value unless God commanded it. And so we need to be careful to follow the Lord. And the Lord knows, listen, you know, the one thing that the Lord knows about us that we probably know if we'd be honest is we can be stubborn and hard-headed. We can. But get this, God is patient with us. Amen. And loves us and wants us to follow Him and not some crazy idea that's not even in the Bible. Because listen, that's what the world is doing. And they are going further and further away from God. And they're thinking they're doing the work of God. Wait, listen, I don't know. I'm not saying that there is going to be. But I don't know that there might not be some pre-rapture persecution on the life of believers. I'm not talking about being in the tribulation. I don't believe believers are going to be in the tribulation. That's the wrath of God. I believe God's going to catch His church away. But the problem is, listen, there are believers. See, we've got it easy here in America. I had the privilege of speaking to a Chinese believer in Pensacola, Florida. He's from China, and his father pastors a Chinese church. And 10 years ago, he told us about the former pastor that was there. He's still in prison for preaching the Word of God. They locked him up. And I don't think their prisons are like our prisons. And so let us not take these things for granted that God has given to us, and let us realize the seriousness of what God is calling His people to be. And that is His light, not in our power, but in the power of God. And God is dealing with us to build us up in Him. But first of all, this might not be a pretty pill, but listen, He has to break us first. The alabaster box has to be broken before the fragrance of the Holy Spirit can come out. And so notice this here in verse 24, as we consider again here the work of God. God is calling them to go into the middle of the ship. And let me ask you this, as He constrained them to go out there and compelled them to go out there, let me ask you this, did the Lord know where He was sending them? Did the Lord know the difficulty and the trial they were getting ready to face? You mean to tell me God knew all that and just went up into the mountain and prayed? Yes, He wasn't worried about it. You know why? Because He holds the whole world in His hands. And so notice the next thought, and that's the will of God. Verse 24, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea. So we know they're in the middle, right? That's an interesting, precarious place to be when you're in the middle. You're neither on one side or the other side. No matter what the difficulty is, it's going to be a long haul to get to either way, right? The Lord knew that. So notice while they're in the midst of the sea in verse 24, they were tossed with the waves for the wind was contrary. So this is a difficult situation. Now remember, they're fishermen. And they're used to this. But when God is dealing with us, we have to be willing to trust Him. And follow what, even in the difficult times. Verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, this is again from 3 a.m. to 6, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And so as we consider this will of God here, we find the walk of the Lord. And what is this walk? Listen, the walk of God is supernatural. You can't do it. I can't do it in the strength of the flesh. Can't be done. And listen, that walk has to do with the Spirit of Christ and the fruit of the Spirit of Christ in us. The gentleness, the long-suffering, we don't just throw that out the window because something doesn't set well with us or something doesn't go our way. God expects us to follow Him in all our ways, right? In all of our ways, we're to acknowledge Him. And so notice what happens here. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when His disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. Well, I think I would too. How about you? I've never seen anything like that. And of course, that would be a little bit nerve-breaking. But you know what? It's a good thing that they cried out, because God hears our cries. And so now we find this situation where where the Lord is going to be in, he's been involved the whole time. They don't know that at this moment. They've got a storm that's brewing, and they've got the ghost, they think, anyway, walking on the water. So they're in trouble. And notice what happens with the Lord, verse 27. But straightway Jesus spake unto them. Isn't that good? You know why the Lord spoke to them? Because they were right where God asked them to be. Do you know why we might not hear from the Lord? Because we are not where God wants us to be. If we're caught up in the world, if our hearts are minds, listen, if you never ask God for his will to be done in your life, will you get it? You could be a saved child of God, and if you never ask God for his will to be done in your life, I promise you this, there's only one other will that will be accomplished, and that's ours. And our will not qualify to glorify God. And so, Jesus speaks unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. That's a relief, isn't it? Thank you, Lord. But now, wait a minute, let me ask you this question. Does the Lord want us to emulate him? Does the Lord want his will, the Lord's will, to be worked out in our lives? How are we going to get that done? Roll up our sleeves? How are we going to get that done? We have to ask him. We have to ask him to do it. But if we never ask him for his will to be done, you could be a saved child. Listen, if God did not work in the lives of these disciples, would they ever be used for the glory of God? Did God have a big job in their lives? He's got even a bigger, I think, maybe, job in our lives as well. So Peter answers him in verse 28 and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. Now, I want you to think about something as we consider this. The Lord never rebuked him for asking that. You know why? Because you know what Peter was saying? I want to do what you do. You think that might be a good request for God's children? Lord, I want to do what you did. Remember what the Lord said? I don't do anything except for what I see the Father doing. And you know what? God wants us to do the very same thing. I don't do anything. I don't want to do anything unless I see Jesus doing it. And so the Lord is here working with his disciples. And by the way, as he wants to work in your life and mine. And so he says, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And what did the Lord say in verse 29? And he said what? Oh, isn't that good? When we say, Lord, I want to be like you. You know what he says? Come on. Come on. Lord, I want your will in my life. What does he say? Come. Lord, I want to be found faithful when you come back again. What does he say? Come. I want to receive every reward because I love you. I don't really care about the rewards. I don't think it matters if you do, but listen, I just want to hear well done. That's all I want to hear from the Lord. Do you know what the greatest gift is going to be in heaven? Jesus. Amen. In his presence, Jesus is going to be the greatest gift. And so he said, come, verse 29. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Did the Bible just say he walked on the water to go to Jesus? What do you think Peter was thinking? I don't know how many steps he took. I have no idea. But I'm just going to guess. Peter was thinking and maybe saying, I would have never thought this would have been possible. He was a fisherman. He knew everything about the water. He says, man, I'm doing something I have never done. And at whose bidding? God's. At God's bidding. Do you know God wants to do what you and I can never do at God's bidding? That's his will. That's his purpose for every believer. But notice what happens here as he's walking on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, boisterous, what happened? He was afraid. He was afraid. You know, it's a sad thing for God's people to be afraid of God and what he's commanded us to do. We can do that. We can look at what God has called us to be and called us to do, and we can be overwhelmed, fearful, to where we don't even move. But if we're not moving, remember what the Lord said, you're either for me or you're against me. If we're not moving, guess what we're doing? We're doing the same thing Peter's doing. We're sinking. Listen, There is no neutral ground. You cannot be a closet Christian or a Christian incognito or undercover or whatever you want to call it. We are either moving forward in Christ. In Christ. What does that mean, forward in Christ? How about looking to what the Lord said ought to be taking place in our life? Gentleness, kindness. See, we want to move mountains. God is just saying, this is my spirit have its way so people can see the light and the salt in your life and the gentleness and the kindness and the long-suffering and the forgiveness. We're looking at all these other things. Well, this is what I think. Well, is it what God said? Because if it's not, you're on the wrong track. God is saying, I want you to be like me. I want you to love like I love. If you don't have love, you can have all these, you can have the faith to move mountains. What did Paul say through the Holy Spirit you have? You're just a noisemaker. If you don't have love, God's love, not just love, God's love. If you don't have God's love, the Bible says we have nothing. We're just a noisemaker. And listen, we need to be honest with ourselves and ask ourselves, do I see Jesus in me or do I just see me and my will and my way and not God? And so what happens here? So he saw the wind boisterous and was afraid. Verse 30. And beginning to sink, he cried saying, Lord, save me. This morning, if you're sinking in your walk with the Lord, you can call out to him. He'll hear you. He's waiting for us. Do you know that God is waiting? If we see we're missing something, if we have any lack of anything that God has provided for us and promised to us, where should we go? To the Lord. But we have to be honest. We have to be willing to say, you know what, Lord? I see spiritual deficiencies in my life. Lord, and by the way, if you don't see any, ask the Lord to allow you to see them if you have them. I didn't say you have them, but if listen, Lord, because you know what? Peter was pretty good. Huh? Lord, you see all these disciples? They might forsake you. Not me. I won't. So it would behoove us to say, Lord, I need you to show me what's wrong with me. I need you to show me what's wrong with me because there's only one person that can fix it, and it's not the person next to you, if there's one next to you. It's not that person. It's God. It's God. And I got news for you. You can't fix anybody else's problems either. I don't know why we think we can, but we can't. Only God can. And so notice what happens here when he said, Lord, save me. 5 hours later, no. And immediately, did you see that? This is the walk of God. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Do you know that God will catch you if you're sinking? Do you know that God wants you to walk? He wants you and I to walk as a royal priesthood. Do you know that he does not want us to walk in sin? You know what the problem is? We say, I can't do that. Listen, you can go after what you think God wants you to have and miss God. And not hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I don't know about you. I'll be happy if I live another 20 years. I don't have that promise. I could die today, tomorrow. But you know what? I want to be found right in God's sight. I want to be found looking to him and trusting in him and my faith and trust in him to perform what he's promised to me. God will not let you down, and you will see the work of God taking place and causing you to walk like you've never walked before. My walk with the Lord has been blessed by him to honor him to a greater degree. I am more cognizant of what is happening around me to not focus in on that and to focus on what God has said and to walk and rejoice and overlooking, just like Moses did, and overlooking the pleasures of this world and the sins of this world to keep my eyes on the one who promised to give me what I can't lose. That's of greater value than anything the world has to offer. But the question is, do we really believe that? Do you know what that means? That means you just clipped out about 90% of the filth and garbage that's on the internet and on the television screen or cable or whatever it is. But wait a minute, don't misunderstand. Don't get caught up in those things like that's something, because that'll be our righteousness and not God if we're not careful. We'll start looking at what we do and don't do for the Lord and still miss the Lord. God does those things. So it's not those little things that we relish in. It's the idea that God brings us to the place like, Lord, you are all powerful. Lord, I am impressed that you can take me and use me for your honor and glory, and that you can cause me to walk upright before you, and that you can give me a genuine heart of love for you and for your people. An unconditional love. That's not my love. My love is conditional. But I want you to know this. My love is wrong in the sight of God. So let's look at the worship of God. Last thought here. Verse 32. So he stretched out his arm, the Lord did to Peter. And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Let me ask you a question. Where were the disciples at this time? Were they doing their own thing, or were they obeying what God said? And they were in trouble. They obeyed the Lord. They were exactly where the Lord wanted them. But Jesus had to constrain them to obey. Remember that? Listen, Jesus had to work with them. It wasn't just I'll follow you. No, you need to go. You really got to get in the boat. No, we'll stay with... No. This is what I want you to do. They would have never experienced this had they not obeyed the Lord. And they had that choice. So notice again. So the Lord saves him. He stretched out his hand in verse 31, caught him and said, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, that's the Lord and Peter, the wind ceased. Just stopped. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Who brought all of those disciples to that place to see that? Oh, they didn't bring themselves? In conclusion, let me invite you over to the Gospel of John just for a moment and show you something very important. Gospel of John chapter 14. Let me ask you this question. Don't answer this. Just ask, how will we love God? How will Jesus come to us? How will the Lord give us his peace? How will the Lord bear his fruit and come to us? How will that happen? How will that happen? Because anything outside of the Word of God is just a guess, isn't it? So let's consider the Word of God here just for a moment. John 14, 16 says this, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Who's speaking? Jesus is speaking, right? The Lord's speaking. That he may abide with you for how long? Forever. Do you think God had a purpose in giving us the indwelling of the Spirit forever? Absolutely. Verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. Why? For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Today he's in us. Is that the truth? Yes. All right. Verse 18. Listen to this. I will not leave you comfortless because of the Spirit. If he didn't give you the Spirit, you'd be comfortless. But now you're not comfortless. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. How will he do that? The Holy Spirit. We don't have time to go through this whole chapter. I would encourage you to carefully, slowly meditate on John 4. It's all through the scriptures, but John 14 and 15 will really lay some powerful truths out that will help us realize that God will do it all. Amen. And here's what I want you to see. Look at verse 26. But the Comforter, which is who? The Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. What is it that the believer needs more than anything else? More than anything else? The Holy Spirit. You have no Lord without the Holy Spirit. You can have salvation, but the Lord won't be working unless it's through the Holy Spirit. That's his whole purpose of it. More than anything else, after salvation, we need the Holy Spirit. Of course, the lost person, more than anything else, they need salvation. That's where it all begins. They have no potential for the Holy Spirit. But after salvation, these are all saved people we're looking at here. God says, you need the Holy Spirit. You want to know why we'll live a miserable life, an angry life, an unkind life, a hateful life? Tell me why you think we might live that kind of a life. No Holy Spirit. I didn't say you weren't indwelt with it. No Holy Spirit. We won't be thinking about loving one another as Jesus loved us. By the way, listen, in case you're not aware of it, God doesn't love the same way we do. Praise the Lord. Or we all be doomed. So verse 26, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. All what things? All the things that we need to learn. Anything else, forget about it. If you're learning without the Holy Spirit, I promise you, you're not learning the right way or the right thing. Listen, you can learn the right thing and be a good Pharisee. That's what the Word of God will do for you without the Holy Spirit. So peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, verse 27. Neither let it be afraid. But in fact, look at verse 26 again. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. I didn't say that, the Lord did. So if we want to know what Jesus said unto us that we've read in his word, I think we need the Holy Spirit. Isn't that what he's saying? Amen. You may know it without the Holy Spirit, but it will be to no benefit. So this morning, it is God who brings us by his power to the place of worship. Amen. Even when we, listen, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you're indwelt. Being filled is another story. But when you're filled with the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit is guiding, when you read about the parting of the Red Sea, it's like he brings it like to your mind, like you're seeing it done, like you know this is the truth. You're not guessing, did this happen? You know it happened. Amen. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, God enables us to see the truth. And to hear the truth. But there's some that have eyes and don't see the truth. Some that have ears and don't hear the truth. You know why? Because of pride. I don't need that. I don't need that. I'll tell you what I need. Is that how to approach the Lord? Lord, this is what I need. Is that gonna bless us? No, that's gonna put a wedge. Is it God's will for you and I to be found faithful? Yes. Try that again. Is it God's will for you and I to be found faithful? Can we do that our way? We can only do it God's way. And that requires humility. That requires us to humble ourselves. I will never have success if I look to myself. I will never see the work of God taking place in my life as a saved child of God. I will never see the grace of God. By the way, faith and grace go together. You can't separate them. Amen. Abraham is a picture of faith. Sarah is a picture of grace. Do you remember what happened when Abraham tried to sell out Sarah to Pharaoh? Say, you're my sister. He found out in a big hurry, you can't separate faith and grace. Neither can we. If the grace of God is not in our lives, then faith is not of any value. I didn't say you weren't saved. I'm just saying the faith that we have without grace is of no value and no glory to God. So here's the question. To whom shall we go? Jesus. He has the words of life. Do we want revival? Do we want to see God open up the windows of heaven? then we need to get our eyes off of ourselves and look to him, or we'll miss him. Peter and the disciples were right in front of the Lord and being blessed by God. Let's not provoke the Lord to anger, because he's given to us so much more. We see the whole truth now. We have it all. And may we, by the grace of God, call upon the Lord to say, Lord, please, your will in me. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne, thanking you, Lord, for your great mercy and your great grace and your long-suffering toward each and every one of us. And Lord, may you do a work in our hearts and minds to see, Lord, we need you desperately to do your work and perform your will, that we can truly be your witnesses. And Lord, I pray that you give us a heart to tell others about you, to pick up tracts, Lord, throughout, and give them out throughout the week. May it burden our hearts to not talk to anybody in one week about their salvation, about their eternal life, Lord. They're going to live eternally, but Lord, without you, if nobody tells them. Lord, help us to see we need you desperately. And as you work in and through us, you'll be glorified, our lives blessed, and we'll be amazed as Peter was when he was walking on the water, and when we see you working, Lord, in our lives. Bless your people, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.